What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Corner Post for match day one of the Premier League. Very exciting to be back. As always, I'm Sebastian Quinn, here joined by Danny Rusevsky.
Hi, guys.
And Oliver Alex Wagner.
Hello, everybody.
And before we get into the first round of the Premier League, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Seb_Quinn. You got Dan on Instagram.
At Dan Rusevsky.
And Ollie on Twitter as well.
At Ollie Alex Wagner.
So nice and easy, and probably getting started with the most exciting game of the round, which I didn't think I would be saying heading into it. Wolves 2, Everton 2. Yeah, going into this game, did not expect it to be as good as it was. An incredibly tense game between two sides who probably had no right to make it this exciting. Mm. Two new-look teams as well. The new signing, Richarlison, opening the scoring the 17th minute for Everton with a pretty simple tap-in, a bit of a muck
scramble
around the
goal.
Back. Yeah, but goal's a goal. I mean, when you pay that much for him, you just want to see him get the ball in the back of the net.
Pretty much. He's, like, they won't care how much or how he gets it in. They'll care that he's getting him in. That's it.
True.
That's all you have to do is strike us, whatever.
Yeah. How's it feel for him in terms of relief? Like, you know, you're getting paid this much money, 5-year deal with Everton, to score or score two goals. I'll get to the second one later.
It's probably
on.
The best start you can, I mean, without a hat trick.
Yeah, it's the opposite. The worst situation is you don't score for the first game, you don't score for the second, then it starts to become a thing with the fans. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Can he get it? And then you start thinking, as soon as you get it off your back,
yeah,
other goals will flow from there.
100%.
No, definitely. But yeah, after that, it was fairly straightforward. But then Phil Jagielka got himself a red card with a pretty reckless tackle.
Nasty.
Keane passed it back to him.
Yeah.
And then he took a very heavy touch, came in and then tried to recover it and got... I mean, as a start, was it a red card for you guys?
Yeah. 100% red card.
On review, yeah.
Studs up.
I had a, like, put it this way. When they said red card and they slow-mo showed it, I was like, yep, that's a red. But if I had... Like, from what I saw in the real time, I said yellow.
Yeah.
So it was a good call because I was wrong. But like, I still like it was one of those ones just a red.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think for me, yeah, gut instinct as well would have been yellow. But interestingly, Ruben Neves, rather not they, he moved the ball forward, what, like 5 meters or so?
Oh, yeah.
About that, yeah.
And, I mean, how big of a difference would that make?
I didn't even notice watching the game until I saw a photo the next day. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That it made a big difference, I'd say.
I haven't seen it. I've got to watch it.
Yeah, well, it's about... Because you know how the pitch is divided into, like, light green, dark green? It was, like, pretty much, a whole square.
One strip.
Yeah, probably, like, three meters, 4 meters.
Yeah.
It was decent.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. When you're doing that with free kicks,
tactical.
Especially... Yeah, Ruben Neves, who can obviously hit them.
Mm.
And, yeah, hit them, he did. Because Pickford did get a hand to it, right?
Just.
Yeah, and even then, like, he kind of hit it.
He anticipated
it
over the wall shot, and then...
Yeah.
Watch the same side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because his movement, he went one way, took a step to go away from it. And then had to recover and go back the same way.
That he wrong-footed him, and that as soon as you take that 1 foot to the right, at the pace he hit it, you can't get it back to the left.
Exactly. Plus, Pickford's whole thing is I'm shorter and agile.
Yeah.
So he really relies on that timing.
Had he been taller,
he'd been fine.
He would have got that.
Yeah.
But then you sort of lose a bit of agility.
Yeah. So the timing and that little distance, that half second or whatever it was less, but like,
yeah.
That makes
a break
for him. For someone longer.
Someone like Courtois, who just moved to Madrid as well. We should kind of briefly... We're confirmed that he moved to Madrid.
Yeah.
Someone like Courtois probably could have got to that. But yeah, half of it's anticipation for Pickford. The other half is his agility getting up and down. So free kick made at 1-1. Richarlison again with a go-ahead goal with a lovely finish into the bottom corner. Henri-esque, you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
He hit it quite early as well. I didn't think he hit it that early.
It's a surprise factor and the finesse factor.
Yeah.
No,
sublime.
I mean, should Patricio be getting down to that?
To be honest, no. I'd say just good finish.
Yeah.
Like when he shot it, you thought if this, like the way it was so beautifully executed, you thought if this goes in, I'll give benefit of the doubt that all keepers wouldn't have got it because it was just such a good shot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just give the props to the goal scorer.
Henri did it, and no one ever said, "Oh, it wasn't Henri being brilliant; it was a bad keeper." It was always a brilliant Henri.
Mm.
So if you're gonna give it to one, it's the same type of shot. You got to give it to the other guy as well.
Yeah. True.
You know, off-season signing of the year potentially.
Nah, man, Naby Keita for me.
You're still sticking with
him. I'm stuck on. As soon as that game comes,
he was quality, man.
Fair enough then. 80th minute, Ruben Neves turning provider this time, setting up Raul. The commentator said Raul. My inner Spaniard says Raul.
Was Tim commentator? Oh, what a shot by Raul.
Raul fish. Raul
Jimenez.
It's fish.
with a nice header anyway.
It's fish.
Did quite well to put that away. I think we can leave that in. I'll enjoy it. Yeah, it was raw fish with the header. That's going to be a weird inside joke to bring back next time he scores. Header, game finishing 2-2. I think appropriately considering both teams. The one thing I did want to bring up as well, the Molineux Stadium was absolutely rocking before this game. Like, there were like fireworks, well, not fireworks, but fire theatrics going off. The whole stadium had like flags going and everything. There's also Richarlison giving his jersey to a young kid. Fan.
I saw that, yeah.
And there was, I think it was a boy or a girl. I can't remember. I think it was
we'll call it an it.
Don't be anti-sexist, feminist, men.
I'm sorry.
They.
He gave the jersey to them.
Whatever gender they identify as. Anyway, they gave it to that person, or if it identifies as a person.
Person is men.
He gave it to that sentient being.
No, we're treading on very thin ice here, but anyway.
That's in the podcast, CR.
Yeah. So gave it to that living organism with a brain and bones and a skeletal structure. I think that's probably the safest way of putting it. Gave it to that.
You're assuming it's an organism. My God, how wrong, how bad are you?
Started crying. He did post it on Instagram. I thought it was a nice gesture considering his first game. Charleston.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Need to distinguish between.
Of course.
Unless
who says that? Who says Richarlison's a he?
Are you assuming things again?
EPL games, I'm all for that.
What is this?
Anyway, sorry, let's just get back on track.
Yeah, Richarlison, who I'm sure identifies as a man, did film and post it all over Instagram. And you're kind of definitely a good move because your first game in new colours, you kind of want to keep that jersey, you know, for your own sake, especially scoring two goals in your debut.
Yeah.
For him to give that to someone.
That's a
confidence.
Crowd pleaser as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to make a good impression. I want them, if I have a bad game where I don't score, you know, I like want them to remember
behind me basically.
Like, don't worry, he's a good guy, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll move on to more disappointing news, at least on my end. Arsenal 0, Man City 2. The Unai Emery era got off to a slow start.
Emery out.
Yeah.
Have you seen the memes already?
All the Photoshop. People have done well to Photoshop all that stuff.
Yeah.
But got off to a slow start. Raheem Sterling scoring inside 20 minutes before Bernardo Silva put the icing on the cake around the hour mark, giving them a pretty solid 2-0 win. Interesting decision with the starting 11.
Both goals were clinical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if Emery, I was going to say Wenger, started... Gendouzi and sorry if
you don't say that.
Enough is enough. Emery out.
Yeah.
And Leno. I mean, I don't think anyone could have stopped that. Like, that's Man City at their best.
Yeah, no. The goals, let them stand. It's just midfield is where I'd say the main issue was.
Yeah, definitely.
It's too slow. Xhaka needed to be replaced either earlier or from the start by Torreira.
Yeah. You think, yeah, I mean, if you have that, does Guendouzi stay then for you?
Yeah.
Guendouzi and Torreira.
Like a 19-year-old. Like,
100%.
Which is crazy because I think he was either free or he's like a £5 million signing for like...
Let him make the mistakes on his own and keep backing him after that because he did have some good moments in that game.
Yeah.
Better than good. He was...
Yeah, but you have to play Torreira next to him.
Yeah.
Torreira will just pitball and stay there and cover mistakes. Xhaka won't do that. Xhaka will want to go up and then
his Arsenal's Kante, Torreira.
Yeah.
He'll recover every ball he can and he can play a good ball too.
Yeah.
So them two starting and Xhaka just come off the bench if we need him.
Yeah.
Don't play him.
When does how long does Guendouzi last if they do give him the time? Like, do the fans give him like 5 games? Just go out and do what you can?
Yeah, about that. I mean, I'd say they'll sort of be like, okay, we're not going to expect great things against the first... 3 games against the big teams.
Playing Chelsea
who's
next
your third,
as well.
Who's your third fixture?
Let's have a look.
Yeah, I think against Chelsea though.
So you got City and then Chelsea.
Chelsea again. You get like if you get smacked by Chelsea, okay, fair enough. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into Stamford Bridge, remember, if you can get a draw there, I'd say okay, that'd be a good result.
He's the kind of kid that can pull off a wonder game against one of those teams. But, oh wow.
Yeah.
He has it in him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm a fan of his.
I'm playing West Ham in the third game.
Still a big game.
Yeah.
They'll give him
London.
They'll give him those smaller teams to test himself out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, he's got an E. I reckon he'll stay.
Yeah. I reckon he could very easily be like a good rotation squad player, like who could come off the bench when we're winning or come off the 100%.
I feel like he'll get a big role in the Europa League as well.
He'll be starting for sure. Yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, it was a little bit concerning in the sense that City started De Bruyne, Sané, Kompany, Gabriel Jesus on the bench, and David Silva didn't even make the bench. That being said, David Silva did retire from international football.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
he did. Just before this game or around, maybe just after.
Yeah, it was less than a week ago, I think.
A few days ago now. So, yeah, he's retired, 2012 Euro.
2008 World Cup. Sorry, 2010 World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Was it 08 Euro as well?
08 Euro and 2012 Euro.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, I mean, obviously a very successful career.
It sucked because... He was in the era of the Xavi and Iniesta, so he wouldn't get a proper go. He played a decent amount of games, but I would have liked to see him play an equal amount to them. But it's just hard going, pretty much being in that same era as
so many great players.
The two greatest midfielders ever.
I mean, same as, you know, when you compare like Ronaldo and Messi, and it's like, you know, there's all the other great players, but they're just never going to get the light of day.
It's unfortunate.
The other thing, starting Cech over Leno, thoughts?
Yeah, Leno for me is thoughts.
It's a safe move for most managers, like, you see around the grounds, basically, yeah. they started maybe one or two of their signings mm-hmm. and left three out.
Yeah. Thing is, Cech's best part of his game is his reactions and he's like running out of the attacker play. The worst part is he's not a ball player at all.
No.
And the way Emery started to adjust, like, display.
He needed
Cech
to be a ball player on that.
Yeah. Because Emery's thing is, we're not going to clear the ball out, we're going to play our way out.
Yeah.
And if Cech, you're going to have
Cech
that,
can't do that.
Yeah, Cech can't do that, but Leno can.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things, it's just a safe option because they're new in the team, they haven't developed chemistry properly, they've had a preseason, that's not enough.
You don't want, and you don't want,
bring him in soon, he'll assimilate him slowly into the game, but.
And you don't want Cech to straight away feel like he's not good. And just like, oh, you're out, we got this.
And like, it could be a big shock to Leno as well.
But I still think Leno's better.
Like, yeah, I would have started him, but like, you never know, he could start him. Bad run of games, first two games, and his bad morale, and just has a rubbish season. It's like,
you
don't hear slowly
about,
bring him in.
Yeah, and you don't hear about, like, if someone has like a tiny niggle, they'll be like, oh, don't worry. Like, this, just give me 1 week. But it won't be like publicized. Just give me 1 week, play him, screw, like, you know what I mean? And like, that's the little information you don't get on the inside. That could just be that. It could just be similar like that. Well, that's why, that could be what Torre didn't play.
Yeah.
I've got a little niggle just.
Yeah, coming off the
I'll play 10 minutes.
Guendouzi still, it's like me or Guendouzi anyway. Just go here, even if you're going to go me.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And then coming off a World Cup as well. I mean, Uruguay obviously didn't go like too far, like, you know, World Cup final, semi finals. But at the same time, you know, you're over there, you're training intensely. You know, come home, you do need a holiday, you know, mental break from football altogether. And then to come back and have a shortened pre season as well, they're probably not fit. You know, Guendouzi's been playing, you know, League Two with, I think it was Paris or somewhere. But yeah, so he's had a full, you know, full season under his belt and a full off season. So that obviously would make a big difference.
Yeah. I think it's just developing chemistry with players and like sort of knowing the runs, because they would have done the set pieces and set plays, just like, okay, this is our little passing play for this side.
Yeah,
we're under the pump. This is our little play. It's like, well, okay, we sort of got to figure out how we each play. That takes about a season, about a half season. So it's sort of hard to buy like four players, put them in randomly, and like, okay, boys, let's do just, what we're doing last season.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
So you sort of bring in one, get used to it. Bring another one, get used to it. Before you know it, they're starting the whole new players around round 12, round 15.
I reckon that'll definitely be it. But there's a few injuries to discuss. Ainsley Maitland-Niles going down early with what looked to be a knee or a hamstring injury as well. So he's gone. So that's Arsenal's third choice left back gone. Monreal struggling for fitness.
He's not even a left back.
Yeah, he's just killing him.
What is he? Is he...
Cam, or either cam or left wing, but he's not a defender.
Wow. So. They merged him to left wing back to left back.
Yeah.
You guys played Lichtsteiner there, eh?
Now we're going to. I think Lichtsteiner is, depending on how bad this injury is, so I don't think there's official word.
That
on
game,
it.
I would have swapped him
with, as Bellerin.
Yeah, had Bellerin cover Walker as the overlap, because Walker was just destroying that left side.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Lichtsteiner really getting into the faces of the referee and like the other players as well.
Oh, Lichtsteiner's
that's what he's got. He has the experience.
Yeah,
so he's been to the big games and he knows what to do.
He's got a competitive personality as well.
Yeah, he wants to win.
Does Danny Welbeck actually fill in at left back? Do those rumours come true at all?
Mate, Welbeck should hang up the boots.
Yeah. Welbeck fill in at
there's a lot of talk of him playing left back, apparently.
No.
Is Emery cooked?
Learn how to play your own position good first.
Not that bad.
Play striker fine and then go to left back.
I would have loaned Welbeck out.
Harsh word.
He's not good for Arsenal. He's good for England. I'll give him that.
I mean, he's not bad
for Arsenal, but he's...
It's just injuries.
He's a 7 out of 10 striker. And he's about a 9 out of 10 striker for England. When he plays for England, he's like 7, like every 7 games, he'll get like 5 goals. Yeah. It's a pretty good ratio.
Well, it's one of those things. If he's a 7 at Arsenal, they have 2 9 out of 10s sitting in front of him. Well, it's like, sorry, bro.
That's why he's a good utility. He's a good backup. But then he's kind of on that line where you can't play for someone like Arsenal, but if you go to Everton, you'll start.
Yeah.
That's why I would have loaned him loan or move, because he's past the point where it's like, you can get better.
Yeah, he's not the
kind... He's peaked in a way.
He's the kind of guy who can't start for Arsenal, but he's too good to just be their bench player as well. Yeah. He's like right in between them.
That's what I'm saying, Everton or like a West Ham where he'd be starting and just be like just pumping goals.
You mean Wushi, West Ham?
Yeah.
Could have worked.
Lucas Perez as well, another ex-Arsenal player.
There you go.
Yeah. Is he
Perez left as well.
Where did he go?
Went to West Ham.
That was short and sweet. Yeah. Was that permanent?
Permanent deal.
That was short and sweet.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, disappointing because I did like Perez, but...
What was he dubbed as like the next?
Yeah, kind of like the what's his Spanish Henri?
Yeah, they were saying something like that.
Decent pace, kind of like similar to Podolski, left foot, good shot, that sort of thing. But you know, Wenger didn't like him. Obviously, you know, he came in.
Didn't Wenger bring him in?
But he brought him in and then didn't play him. He scored a hat trick against Bournemouth and then didn't do anything.
Does that mean then those kind of deals that Wenger has told him that, or is like you'll get your chance, but don't be too hopeful? Like, how does that go down?
Yeah, you'd hope so. But
it'd be like sort of any business deal. Like, word of mouth, but the contract says something else. Like, yeah, it's there, but like, look, I'll play you here and there. Like, don't worry about it. It's like, are you sure? Like, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll work it out. And then, you know, when you come from Spain like that, and you're like, oh, come play for Arsenal. Like, you know, all jokes aside, like, Arsenal's still a big club. Like, you know, when someone comes knocking like that with a bit of money.
Awkward silence.
Cricket.
No, they're not. No, you can't leave it. This is funny. Oh. Yeah, I'm kidding now. I'm kidding. I just wanted to take the piss from
you. I was going to say something. I was like, no, I probably shouldn't.
Like,
I
to interrupt. I'm like, just leave it. Sometimes silence is better than an answer. Oh,
okay.
No, they definitely are still one of the biggest clubs in the world, hands down. Maybe like 12th.
So West Ham came knocking initially, or Arsenal came knocking initially. It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to go to Arsenal.
Who was he playing before?
He's one of the ones that's Tottenham. I'd probably go to Tottenham now instead of Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, but
depending on whatever club he was in, if any of those six teams in the Premier League, the big six, come knocking, I don't care which one, I'd say yes.
Yeah, you'd go.
Deportivo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Deportivo. Yeah, honestly, you'd say yes to Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if, like, he probably would have told him, yeah, you'll play, but didn't expect that. It's one of those ones. How old was he when he came?
He's 29 now, so he would have been, like, 27.
Yeah, it's not a smart move.
I mean, that's Lucas Perez hitting his prime. Like, that's where you go to a big team, or you go to a team to start and, like, make your big bucks and, like, score goals.
Yeah.
You probably go sit on the bench.
It was one of those things where you sort of hope. We saw this little guy from Deportivo. He's a good prospect.
Yeah.
They were hoping for 20 goals out of nowhere. It's like, oh, well, what happened here?
Mm.
Didn't happen.
He could have done that. He just didn't get the chance, though.
Yeah,
he scored a few times.
I think he got like 9 goals in like 20-something appearances, something like that.
That's all right if you're coming on at the 70th minute each time.
Yeah.
That's a shame. But anyway, the bigger injury news, which I didn't expect to spend so long in Arsenal, but
the brink.
Kevin De Bruyne.
KDB.
KGB.
Very serious knee injury. Potentially 2 months, roughly, they're talking about him being out. How big is his loss for Man City?
Not major. Very big.
Major.
Oh, no. There we go.
Major.
The depth of their squad, man.
They have no linchpin like him.
Mahrez?
Mahrez is not.
Mahrez. I know he's a winger.
Mahrez doesn't tie in the defence and the attack.
Yes, he does. Look at the Leicester title winning season.
He was more of a winger where Kante and Drinkwater gave it to him who gave it to someone else.
Okay, put it this way. If you take De Bruyne...
Mark my words, they will crumble.
Okay. No, okay. They won't. They didn't even use him in their first game against the top six team.
Who?
De Bruyne.
Well, what team?
Arsenal.
Hey.
Top six.
No, but you know what I mean.
Look, they will be fine.
They'll be fine.
But
against someone
it's
like
a loss for them.
It's a loss, but it's not like...
It's a big loss, man.
Dude,
I'm getting angry.
With their squad depth, it's not a big loss.
Yeah.
Instead of losing, it's like losing Ronaldo in Real Madrid. It's like, okay, that's not good. He has about as much impact on City as Ronaldo does in Madrid. Take him out, it's still like, wow, five-star team.
Yeah.
Put it this way. If you competed with City when they don't have De Bruyne, that's more of an even match.
Yeah.
And I'd say, okay, if Arsenal win this, it wouldn't surprise me, but I'd still expect you to lose. Mm. And I'd expect you to definitely lose if you had De Bruyne.
Jeez.
That's like, honest though.
Nah, man.
Yeah, not true. Dan.
The way they set it up is basically De Bruyne center.
What about against Arsenal?
Let me finish.
Okay, and then Ansel, what about against Arsenal?
That's Arsenal, they're crap. I mean, nah. Arsenal was a hard one to judge because it's a fresh team and they were testing out play styles against City.
City's next game is...
Who's the next decent game?
Huddersfield next.
They'll clean up Huddersfield.
And then
that's what I mean, they're going to clean up everyone. Because of their squad depth. Let me finish.
All right, Dan, you have the floor.
City against the big teams will probably lose. Against the small teams, yeah, they could play their C team and still win.
I don't think they'll lose against the big teams.
If not, it'll be really close.
Without De Bruyne, it'll be close. With De Bruyne, it won't be close, but I still think they'll win the close ones.
I'm leaning more towards a loss, but a close loss.
I could see one loss maybe against Liverpool.
Liverpool and Chelsea will be a close loss.
Mm-hmm.
United, who knows? Arsenal that just played without him.
Like, do you honestly think if you were Chelsea or United, you could honestly say, have De Bruyne, we're probably going to win this game.
Who are you going to play instead of De Bruyne?
Do you reckon you could still say that?
Not probably going to win, but now we've got a better chance.
I'd say you can...
But he's going, that's likely.
Yes.
I think better chance, but still not over 50.
Yeah. As soon as De Bruyne's taken out of the picture, their tactics, the other team's tactics, can be changed to better them.
Yeah.
Of course they can, but that's why he's valuable. But like...
Which is why they're going
to
lose.
Not to like they can adjust.
Who would you play instead of De Bruyne then?
Gundogan.
He can't do what De Bruyne does.
No one can do what De Bruyne does. That's why De Bruyne's De Bruyne. But I'm saying he will get, he will fill it in well enough to not lose the whole game for his team.
Their gameplay is going to slow down a lot.
We'll see. We'll just have to watch.
He lost. I won. next point.
City will win the title after he knew De Bruyne was injured.
Hmm.
2 months.
Yeah, 2 months out. Well, what?
Yeah,
about,
but
what
still,
about,
he still.
They'll win.
Yeah, they're going
to
be fine.
What about the implications on like Champions League and like FA Cup and stuff like that? When they do have to like start rotating deeper into their squad.
Yeah, that might make a difference. It'll definitely make a difference to the Champions League if they don't have him.
Mm. That's when
you're versing the other De Bruynes.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where it becomes much, much tougher because you got 6 games a week.
You got the Modric, you got the Croatian De Bruyne, you got all these other.
Your players better than him basically to compete against.
Yeah. Mm. Right now, he's in the top 3 players in EPL for sure. Him, Hazard, who else?
Welbeck.
2 best players.
Salah.
Little Mo with the kinky leg.
It's hard to pick now because I'd put Naby Keita from that first game.
Yeah, I'd put him
as one of the greatest, as one of the best players.
Top 5 now. If he keeps going the way he's going, he could crack top 3.
Yeah,
he looked good, man.
I need more of a sample.
We'll get to him.
It reminded me of Balak before he moved to Chelsea.
Yeah,
just everywhere, just probably.
He was everywhere in that game.
But also fast.
Yeah,
that's the surprising thing. I was thinking, okay, yeah,
he's so well rounded.
Yeah, he's
and the thing is, he's one of those guys. Gets the ball, get lasered off. He can create. That first goal, I think it was.
We're about to get into Liverpool West Ham, Dan. So
right now?
You can take the reins.
Bring us into it.
That's all right. Dan, what are your thoughts on Liverpool before near West Ham?
Oh, mate. Oh.
we'll just skip my normal script
and go straight into it. No, hey, guys. Back here at the Dana Post.
Please. Please.
A comprehensive win for Liverpool with Mo Salah scoring the opener, Sadio Mane scoring a double despite one clearly being offside, and Daniel Scurry scoring with his first touch in his return to Liverpool gave the Reds a deserved win. Dan, take the floor.
Firstly, it was good saying sorry with the dance.
Okay, yeah.
Apart from that, thanks for the dab wags.
You don't do the dance. You can't do the dab. No, I can do it. All right, I'll put it up on the Instagram.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ollie's still struggling with the Dele Alli celebration.
There's a name of it, but I can't remember the name.
Oh, I know. It's like it's almost like the salute or whatever. We'll do a boomerang of this and just watch us
he
all
just
struggle
got it.
With it. Oh, there we go. I'll look at him. All right. Dan,
so yeah. Anyways,
Naby Keita.
It's one of those performances where if you look at the game on paper, you won't know the impact he put on because he didn't assist anyone directly.
No.
But his play for the first goal, lethal.
Yeah.
Put the little through ball for, I believe it was Robertson.
With a gimpy leg. Kidding, guys. We're not going to cut that bit out. Definitely not that bit either.
Okay.
And not that bit either.
And not that bit.
Not that bit. Yes. Yeah. His ball retrieval skills, I'd say, were second to none.
Yep.
Him and Kante are very similar, apart from the fact that, again, I think I said it before, he can create much more chances than Kante can.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think they showed it, or I don't know if you can find it. His kilometers covered in the game, and I think it was interceptions or ball retrievals.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee he ran the most out of anyone. And I mean, he was involved in every goal in a sense.
Yeah.
The assist for the assist, or dispossess someone, made off to someone else.
How much did they have to pay for him?
£53 million.
It was a lot, man.
It's a lot. How old is he?
He's not that old, I want to say.
I'm going to assume 28, 27.
Okay. 26.
Call it the 5.
23.
No way.
23. He's our age.
Greatest debut of the new purchases, whether from outside the league or inside the league, Keita.
Richarlison.
Keita.
No, no, no.
But could argue either way. I'd probably go Keita because you can get another Richarlison. To get a Keita, it's rare.
Yeah.
So
it's one of the games where you have to watch it to know what he did.
Yeah.
And sort of have the camera on him only. Whereas if you were to tell us, he played so great, but so it's like, okay, yeah.
2 goals, it sounds better. But
yeah.
If
he didn't score, didn't assist, but he played so good, it's like, yeah, of course he did. But if you watch him, see how much he covered.
The off-the-ball stats, all that kind of stuff as well.
It's the stats that don't get the recognition that they should.
Mm.
But, I mean, you can't really, track that. So, that's my take on the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is top 2 considered a successful season for Liverpool, or do they need to win it?
Win it.
I'd say
their goal this season, I'm assuming,
it's obviously,
is to win.
Yeah, but I'd still say a good season for them is a top 3. But Champions League or an FA Cup.
Okay.
So if they get an FA Cup, because they haven't won an FA Cup in a while. So if they get an FA,
I can't remember when they last did it.
If they get an FA Cup, that's a solid achievement for them.
Yeah,
because they haven't had that in a while, and that's trophies.
Yeah,
they should be going for the Champions League, unlikely, and definitely the league. But top three in the league will make an FA Cup only okay. But if they don't get top three, then they need a good season.
I mean, okay, win everything, sweet.
Yeah,
finish top three. Top four, top three, ideally.
And get some silverware.
And at least get some silverware anyway.
Yeah.
FA Cup, Champions League, likely FA Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last FA Cup was 05-06.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. That was the year they won the Champions League.
Yeah.
05? Or was it 04-05?
04-05, yeah.
Okay. So the year after they won.
It's a good period.
Mm. No, Steven Gerrard's peak.
Oh, yeah. 06 was Milan, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, against Arsenal, I'm pretty sure. That, yeah. Oh.
04-05 was Liverpool. 5-6 was AC.
Yeah. That's it.
6-7 was, oh man, I can't remember.
Chelsea.
I know 7-8 was Chelsea. That was United.
6-7 Champions League.
Can Mo Salah replicate what he did last year? How many goals does he get?
30.
I wouldn't say the same amount as 30. Last year.
I'd
season.
Say still well, but not
relative. 25+.
25+. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
Safe
yeah.
bet.
Mm. 25+. Another good season, cementing himself as a high quality player.
Yeah.
Like done and dusted.
Yeah. No doubt.
Superstar.
Mm.
Because you got to, if you do it for two seasons in a row, like Kane.
Yeah.
Superstar. Like, okay, yeah, this guy's legit. He's not like, just a one-off.
Season, we'll see what it does.
Yeah, and
back it up twice,
scored,
three times.
Yeah, the way he scored last year wasn't the same skill he did every time that someone could learn how to defend. It was a variety of goals.
Yeah.
It's like, you're trying to figure me out this way, I'll do this.
Yeah, it changes
it. He's just all-round baller.
Mm-hmm. Any doubts about his shoulder injury coming off that?
Look, he seems to be fully recovered.
Yeah, Salah.
Salah. He seems to be fine.
Well, when was the injury like?
It was a hairline fracture or something, wasn't it?
Champions League.
Yeah.
I think it was just a sprain anyway. Well, Champions League final 2 months ago?
Yeah, just a bit.
He's well. He's well over that.
Yeah, sure enough. Last bit. Disappointing from West Ham, considering all their off-season signings. You've got Yarmolenko, Wilshere, Perez, Carlos Sanchez.
I'd say a little bit disappointing.
Fabianski. Like, to lose 4-0 especially.
Pellegrini's a good coach.
Which is the other thing, yeah. Pellegrini too.
I mean, I wouldn't say... That's it, boys. Be mad with yourselves for the whole week, whole season.
Yeah.
Disappointing, but get over it.
Yeah, the scoreline is disappointing. The result's not surprising.
Yeah, true.
There's definitely areas to work on, which is all right. You've got 37 more games to go.
Yeah. Well, first game of the season, obviously, you're going to be a little bit rusty, but I didn't expect that much.
Again, it's similar to what the Arsenal issue was. You've got a lot of new players. You can't bring them all in at once. All right, boys, win me the game. Like, get to know them.
Yeah.
I understand how you play alongside them. It'll take time.
No, yeah, definitely. It's a slow
process when you bring in that many players.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, that's the second year in a row that West Ham's lost 4-0 on the opening day. Pretty sure they lost 4-0 to United last year.
I think that was
Liverpool's biggest open day in a long time. Remind me of the TAB sports bet stats guy. You know those stats guys, you can just pull it out?
Yeah. Middleton,
how
was it?
How do you know that was the same?
Middo, mate. This is actually the last grand final Melbourne played since 2005 and the weather was this sunny.
Yeah. Past 5 p.m. but before 7 or something. Yeah.
That's the first penalty that happened in that 30-second minute.
Yeah.
32 seconds into that minute.
We'll move on to Man United Leicester. Speaking of penalties, Dan, excellent segue. Paul Pogba scoring nice and early and Luke Shaw scoring nice and late to secure the win for Man United in their first game of the season. Jamie Vardy scoring a late consolation goal, which is a little bit of a weird one because they did a nice cross in, hit the post, bounced back into Vardy, who headed it home. Definitely ruined De Gea's clean sheet. He had a few good saves in this one, but thoughts on Pogba's penalty run-up?
He was a little trot
thing.
He's been doing it for a while now. Yeah. It's just antics.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Makes no difference, really.
Mm.
Is the referee going to pull him up for it?
No, as long as you're moving forward, there's no pace.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought it was a bit weird. I was watching it, heard the whistle blow, looked up, I was like, all right. And he's just there dancing and stuff.
At what point did they bring in the rule where you can't stop and sort of stop your run and then restart?
You can stop, you actually can't be still. So you can faint as long as you...
I remember there was a point where they were doing it and then they sort of brought in the rule, okay, you got to keep moving forward. I don't care if you stop, but just sort of keep the
motion going.
Keep the momentum going
forward. If you go and then stop completely,
that's when they
double movement,
they
pull it up.
Yeah.
It's like a double movement in footy. It's like, no, you stopped and kept going.
Yeah.
It's like one fluid sort of roll motion
fluid,
thing.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Kind of like Jorginho's penalty, which we'll get to as well in the Chelsea game, where he kind of like stopped and like fainted but kept going forward and came away with the ball.
Yeah.
So that's his run-up. Also, got the captain's armband for the first time for United. Does that mean a lot at all for him?
Well, here's the thing. There's this weird power thing going on between Paul Pogba and Mourinho at the moment.
Yeah.
Mourinho knows that, like, here's the thing. With someone like Paul Pogba, Fergie used to run the club, and even if you were Paul Pogba, he would get rid of you if he didn't think you were good, yeah,
which
right?
Which is what he did.
Yeah.
Mourinho is now in this point where he's had a few bad seasons now. He hasn't, like, people, he doesn't have that instant, like, fear. Like, they're like, we'll get rid of Mourinho. It's been done. Chelsea did it.
Yeah.
Like, no one's scared to get rid of Mourinho now. Everyone's scared to get rid of Fergie.
Yeah.
They've got a player now who might have more pull power at the club. Because who's more valuable? Pogba, the marketing thing? Yeah. Or Mourinho, who's already born? Yeah, Pogba's
100%.
Also, Pogba, now World Cup winner.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got all the marketing power, all the, like, all the jersey sales.
Mm.
He came out and said, Mourinho's probably like, if I don't keep Pogba on my side, I'm going to be the one that goes out, not taking the blame for anything
that comes out like that. Yeah.
So, but then the thing is, Pogba after the game, because there's been this beef going on between them, he's like, oh, I'll always play for this. I'll always play for the team and the club, right? And people usually say, and the manager.
The manager.
But he didn't say, and the manager.
Of course.
So he's like, give me the captaincy. I haven't said this. Now, if Mourinho comes out, he's basically saying to Mourinho, let's see how you react to this when I do a little bit of a power play and say, I haven't said your name there. Are you going to take it? Can you afford to now cut me out again? Or will that get rid of you?
Yeah. And if Mourinho does say something, then Pogba can just fire back and say, well, the club's bigger than everyone, than any single person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all his bases covered. I'm sure Pogba's got his own marketing team and PR trying to
spin. He's sort of forcing Mourinho into accepting that you have to make me the main man, otherwise you're going, not me.
Mm.
Yeah, which makes sense, especially when you paid that much money for him. Like, Pogba has to be, like, he has to be starting every game. You can't bench him.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely. So yeah, the captains are men though. Like, does that in
kind it of makes
in
sense
terms of, in terms of Pogba's own like personal that's, psyche?
Yeah, that's good. It's like, it's two things for Mourinho: give your best player a boost to make him better.
Yeah,
keep him on your side so you can stay in. And and it actually works. He's that type of personality.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps the dressing room going.
Mm.
Yeah,
he's
you saw the footage of him at the World Cup final.
Yeah, doing singing all that. As he tones down his
halftime talks,
he's young. Yeah, he's immature as well. Yeah, he's a young guy. As he turns that down,
that's what happens when you give someone the captain's armband.
Yeah, like, he's saying basically mature now.
Yeah,
that's what Terry got so mature so young.
Yeah,
gave him the captain's armband. What was he? 23.
Yeah,
so captain's armband straight away the season after. Whoa, he looked like he'd been playing for years.
Yeah, you don't see captains doing immature things on the field off the field. It's like, all right, this is not just an armband for nothing. Like this is
you're like the face of the club now. Yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely symbolic for him. So now Luke Shaw's goal. First one, at least in the Premier League, first one of his senior career as well.
Mm.
He got hammered by Mourinho over the last 2 years or so. I'm pretty sure he's called him out for being chubby.
Fat shaming.
All this other stuff. He doesn't have the football mind for it. All these other things were basically... It was a good goal.
Great goal.
Fluky goal.
Yeah. Fluky-looky.
Yeah, did well too.
Not bad. Was that your title for the...
Yeah, it was. They did well too, actually.
Was it legit?
No, God.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, should have. Fluky Luky with the goal to set.
Bad day. No, to sign you up.
It was a good finish.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, a little bit fluky to kind of get that up and over the defender, but at the same time,
for him, it's what he needed.
Yeah,
he got a little faith in him. What can you do? Oh, can you do that? Okay, you start again next week. That kind of thing.
No, United coming out with a 2-1 win. I think they definitely needed a strong start in this one.
Overall, to be honest, I reckon Leicester played the better game.
That's what
that was definitely the case.
It ended up being like, 60-40 possession in favor of Leicester. They had the
chances for Leicester.
Like, chances on target? Like 5-2.
Hmm.
United,
if they had more composure in front of goal, could have been 3-2, 3-1 for Leicester. Because Iheanacho missed a couple of, not sitters, but goals.
Good chances. Chances are more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, definitely, there was that middle period, that first period where they got the penalty.
Mm.
It was like, okay, United took control. And then they sat back and went back to United of old.
Yeah.
And then, Leicester were just going ahead, and Iheanacho had a fair few chances.
It's one of those games where you can't sort of fluff those chances up because you probably won't get that many.
Yeah.
And they were fortunate enough to get plenty of them. They just kept missing them.
Yeah. If you were a Leicester fan, do you take kind of... some kind of solace in this. Like,
You'd be frustrated, but you'd be like, okay, that's good, because if that was us against them, imagine us against like Brighton.
Yeah.
So
Matt Ryan.
Sorry, Arsenal.
Wow. Going back to that. Let's just move on. Yeah, okay.
Nah, it's like if that's their performance against United, then that sort of settles their nerves. Like, okay, we can put that in. The defenders against the United defenders are different to other team defenders of the lower caliber team, so they would finish. I wasn't thinking Arsenal whatsoever. So they'll probably finish those chances against a lower team.
Yeah. Last thing also, when Pogba was taking the penalty, there was a shot of him and Sanchez having a little chat, kind of debating who was going to take it, and Pogba nominated himself being the captain. But I mean, Sanchez, it was a funny shot because Pogba's like a solid, like 6 inches taller than Sanchez. So it's like, it was kind of like that Oliver Twist, like, oh, please, sir, may I have some more? And Pogba's like, no, go away.
Pogba's like, no, I'm taking this one.
A bit of a weird one. But I mean, what do you tell Sanchez in that? Like, who would deserve it more out of the two of them? Like, does Pogba be like, I just want a World Cup?
You didn't probably would have used that. He's like, oh, sorry, do you have a World Cup?
Yeah.
No.
He's got the hand in his back pocket. He's like, oh, sorry. But then Sanchez being the new signing and everything, he's like, oh, get me going for the new season.
It's almost a power shift. Sanchez, when Sanchez came in, you thought, okay, he's basically the new kid on the block. He's the new big name.
Mm-hmm.
Pogba's going to come second.
Yeah.
Pogba's captain, won his country World Cup.
Yeah.
He's the face of United at the moment.
Yeah, works.
Yeah. I like Sanchez's actual penalties better.
Yeah.
But Pogba's got a better ratio. When Sanchez hits him, he hits him hard,
mm-hmm.
but he misses the odd one. Does he hit the bar or something? Pogba doesn't really miss. So
his game wasn't that great either.
Yeah, no, very...
That's probably why they thought...
Sanchez is one of those guys, when he's having a bad day, it's bad. His passes get intercepted.
It's either really, really
high
good
risk
or really
for
bad.
Good, high risk for bad.
Yeah. When he's good, though, he's good.
He pulls off, like, he has 10 complete screw-ups a game, but three just gem goals that he only could get because he tried something that could be screwed up so badly.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, if you did it, fine, we'll cop it.
Yeah,
and someone like United, when you have Pogba under him, behind him,
it's safe to do
free
those.
Room, free roam. If you stuff it up, we'll cover.
Just risk it when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few times where he's trying like some tap and goes and stuff, and like he just loses the ball to like three defenders. I'm like, you shouldn't be taking on that many people.
Mm. Exactly. But then like there's other times where he does it,
and
gets
it
past
pays
and
off.
Pings the top right, and you're like,
Wow,
if you didn't risk that, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to succeed at it.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
that's what I love about him, just he risks it.
But then it's also okay. So if you're that type of player, you've got to take that and level up and go time and a place to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. 2-0 down. Maybe let's just try and systemize this and get everyone involved and see what we can do.
Yeah.
3-0 up, go look like the best. Yeah. Take risks.
Even at 2-0 down,
it's less of a risk if you're 3-0 up, right?
Yeah.
That's
at 2-0 down, why not? You sort of need that spark.
I mean, you could
calculate
it. Two
risks.
Ways.
Calculate
like
them.
When the game is either easily in your hand or way out of your hand, you need something.
Yeah.
When it's too close, don't be the person that ruins it because you risk something you didn't need to risk.
Yeah.
You've got to go on the polar opposites. Way down, I'll try something. Way up, I'll try something.
Mate.
1-1?
Probably shouldn't.
Everyone's going to scream at you if they score on the counter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
mate, you don't buy a ticket on the ref.
Yeah, mate.
Simple as that.
$100 million lotto this fuck. Tonight, there's a 100...
Anyway, speaking of polar opposites, Newcastle 1, Spurs 2. All three goals coming in the first 20 minutes with Jan Vertonghen heading home at short range. Yosselu evening things up just 3 minutes later and Dele Alli scoring and celebrating.
Dele Alli.
After a lovely cross from Sergio Aurier as well. On the 18th minute... Pretty good header at the back post, I will say.
Dele Alli's good in the air, man. He's tall.
How tall is he? 6'3"?
I think he's like 6'1". Yeah,
6'1", 6'2".
He can still leap.
He's a tall bloke and he's athletic.
Mm.
Yeah.
For a centre mid as well. Like, you wouldn't expect them to be getting that. I mean, it's hit and miss, I guess. You wouldn't expect too many from him.
Remember, he's an attacking centre. He's a cam. Yeah, he's a goal scorer.
Yeah.
He's definitely a goal scorer. So.
Yeah, but Spurs, no signings this offseason. Still looking okay. A little shaky. I mean, I didn't expect Newcastle to compete as well as I did in this game.
There's a point where Rondon could have equalised had he been smarter on the ball. So I mean that would have made it 2-2. And I mean, if you're not going to sign anyone, you sort of be a little bit more convincing, because that's him basically telling everyone, I'm confident in my team. No weak links.
First, I say always the 5 games before you start pegging teams against each other. Because this is the kind of
then
thing
again,
where
it's hard. It's the first round.
It's the kind of thing where, like, Everton could versus West Ham, for example. Everton get pumped 3-0. Everton go versus Tottenham now. They beat Tottenham. And it's like, you just got, like, where's everyone going to be at? You
still feeling each other out.
Yeah, you still got no idea. And then it sort of separates and you get your usuals.
Yeah.
And then you got the occasional ones where it's like, oh, you did well this year or you did really
usually
bad
around
this year.
Christmas time when it's halfway, you can sort of get a good
yeah, exactly. The longer you go, the better, obviously. You're going to predict the last.
The thing is, I was going to mention earlier when we're talking about Arsenal, like, you've got Man City first and then Chelsea next.
Mm.
Like, if you lose both those games, that's 6 points already behind whoever's coming first, which, like, for Arsenal is, like, a fair bit to recover as well. And so you really don't want to be losing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You don't even want to be drawing this early in the season.
Yeah. Like, when you lose the first two, and then you're feeling bad and the teams and everything in the media, the nerves has a bad game, and you're 9 down, it's just like,
that's the worst part about having those matches against, like, the biggest teams in your comp, because it's like, okay, don't worry. Someone else is going to verse them eventually, but it's like, okay, if we lose, we're kicking off our season with bad morale.
And you know what that comes down to? The manager. The manager has to scare you into the fear of losing.
Yeah. He has to have that. Yeah, that's
why Fergie was so good, man.
Yeah.
He just... I never even been coached by Fergie. Just by the interviews, I'm happy I wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh. I just hear all these players like that I just would have been freaking out if I met.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, no, no, no. He's, you know, if you get called into like the gaffer's room, you know you're done.
Yeah,
you're gone.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, it just sounds like that loony. You know, like when our parents say, oh, we used to have.
Crazy.
Yeah. You're like, you know, teacher, our parents are like, oh, we used to get hit with rulers in school.
Yeah.
It just makes me, it's like that same level of scared. I'm just like, I'm glad that wasn't me.
Yeah.
I'll just, oh, no, don't
Pochettino
want it.
Pochettino or Benitez has either of that, has a little bit
Benitez?
I can, none of them have any
Poch,
of that.
Poch is nice.
Who's the
Rafa?
Then?
You mean Rafa?
Rafa or Poch?
No, 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 Rafa.
They're too nice.
No,
man.
No, no. Yeah. Gerard. Watch. Okay, so later on, everyone as well who's listening, go watch on YouTube Gerard commenting on Rafa. And Gerard says, like, he used to deliberately fire Gerard up. Like, Gerard would come off, get a hat-trick. He'd walk off onto the side. He'd say the first thing he did bad in the game and not mention any of the good stuff. He's like, he never prayed. Just stuff like that. And he's like, it's just little J-ops. Like, I reckon
I wouldn't say he's like putting fear into him. I think he understands it's like the sports psychology of it.
It's not really, okay, that's true. It's not really a fear thing. It's more just like
it's a smart thing to do, though.
Yeah. But then I think Poch wouldn't even do that.
Poch
wants a good relationship. Rafa's like happy for you to hate him for a bit.
Yeah.
You need, in a manager, you need to like, you almost want some of your good players to just think about you. Does this guy just ever stop?
You have to psychoanalyze your players. Yeah. You need to be a good psychoanalyze as a manager to understand. Okay, I know how to fire him up.
Yeah.
And like, Poch sort of in his mind says like, we're all friends here.
Yeah.
And Fergie's like, I'm the coach, you're the players.
See, and is that what the difference is? So you got like, if you're a little bit fiery but still friendly enough, right?
It's a balance.
And you're Poch, but if you're Poch, right, you're real friendly and your team starts playing well, but when it comes crunch time and you've got to grind the result, they don't fear what will happen if you don't.
Yeah.
Against Poch, I think, okay, well, he's still nice. If you're Fergie and you've got to grind the result, if you don't, you know you're either getting benched, yelled at, transferred, something bad's going to happen. Okay. Fight that little bit harder, win the title. Yeah. Poch, same caliber of players. Just like, oh, well, you know, it's like, it's okay. It's like, you know.
Complacency is what comes into play when you're like that.
That's why I put Guardiola as well.
Yeah.
People, big players, big egos say, Guardiola, man, if you do not fit his way, you're out on the edges.
Yeah. I was going to say Mourinho, but I feel like not. Arsene Wenger's the exact antithesis.
Yeah, exactly.
Where no
too
one
easy.
Cares.
No, one, no one gives a crap about anything.
Fine. Some 68-year-old man doesn't do anything.
Like, Emery will be good because I think he's a bit more like that.
Yeah. He has a balance.
He's somewhere in the middle, yeah.
I think Mourinho's losing that edge though, where they're like, he's been doing it for so long and he says so many just random. And
I mean,
like,
he's gone too far the other way.
He doesn't care anymore.
So he's gone, so Guardiola's got on the perfect balance. He's like that, do what I say and we'll do well. Don't do it and you're gone. But if you do what I say, it's a better plan than someone like Mourinho.
Yeah, we're going to succeed.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I say is thought out.
He has evidence backing his tactics. Yeah. Like, look, just do what I say and we'll do well.
If you do what Mourinho says, it might be bad anyway. If you don't do what he says, it could be bad or bad. Pep is like, if you just do what he says, and the thing is, you have to respect his honesty. So if Pep says to you, you're the backup left back, you're probably not going to play much. Believe me, he knows that the other guy's better than you.
Yeah.
And he won't, he's the kind of manager that won't be like, he will never give you that spot unless you absolutely show him that you deserve it. But you want to show him you deserve it because you know he's not lying that you're worse.
That's why he would tell them.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't be sitting there saying, yeah, I probably won't tell him that he's not going to start. Like, he'll tell him,
bro,
he's better than you based on this, so you probably won't start.
Yeah. Or
if you're a true professional and a true competitor,
go get it. Come on.
You train so hard.
And then.
And you're like, nah, I'm better than this guy.
Yeah.
Show it.
Yeah. And then the players that do, great. You've got that mentality I want in my team.
Yeah.
If you don't, fine, go.
Yeah.
So he's always got the best teams. Yeah. He's always got the players with the best mentality.
If you think about it, he had let's say, for example, the left back.
Yeah.
Pick left back up here.
And Mendy and who's the other one they have? Delph.
He played Delph.
Mendy and Delph. Both of those guys go back and forward for that spot the whole year.
Even who they signed last year from Madrid?
Danilo,
right back. Walker or him. But Walker's so much better that it's not even close. Delph and Mendy, it's like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Mm.
They're fighting for it.
Exactly.
But he's got them in a way where it's like you pretty much put them interchangeably, same result. Yeah. That's how good they both are.
In a simple conversation, he can turn his second left back
into the top.
Into an equal first left back. So he's perfect. It's like I've got two starting left backs I can pick from.
Yeah.
Because I pretty much fired one up.
Mm.
One of them was already at his peak.
Mm.
He's a smart manager.
And then he gets good players, like an 8 out of 10, and he just makes them a 10. Walker.
Yeah.
Walker was always good, but he was not known technically. He was just known as quick and athletic. Now
he's seen that last little bit.
He's listening. Now he looks like...
Guardiola found that bit.
He looks like he grew up at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Like he's moving around like in this just...
He could fit into Barca's lineup easy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's definitely increased Walker's net
value, worth. Oh, value. 100%.
They did spend like $50 million on him. Yeah. So he could easily...
He's easily worth more than that now.
Anyway, good chat about Newcastle and Spurs. We'll move on to Huddersfield 0, Chelsea 3. A comfortable win for Chelsea under their new manager as well, Sarri, who was pictured chewing on a cigarette butt on the sideline, which I thought was hilarious because you can't smoke on the sideline in the Premier League. Unlike
they're going to build him a little smoking area now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a bridge.
I just imagine him in like the in the Pope Mobile, like completely enclosed to like suck up.
Pretty
the,
much.
That would be.
Yeah. That's pretty much what they're
doing. That would be pretty cool.
He smokes actually. About what was it? 70.
70. It's a day.
Yeah, so smokes quite a bit. Obviously,
that's a lot, man.
Can't take open the scoring with a... I mean, he's playing in a more advanced position, but it wasn't exactly a clinical finish. Kind of hit into the ground and bounced over the keeper.
That was nice.
Yeah, Jorginho tucking away the penalty and then Pedro with the Spanish chip. Did we describe it as?
Deft.
Yeah, it's like chip. All Spanish strikers have this little just like... I didn't chip you.
It's in their locker.
I dinked it over the exact height of your body.
Yeah.
Or like the keeper comes and slides out. Like just dinking a meter and up and it just sort of rolls in just so that the centre-back finally gets to it. Oh, wait, now it's in.
Yeah.
They're not taught that. They're all born with that.
Yeah.
Find me as many.
You don't get taught that.
It's a 4-year-old baby.
Like you ask him, how'd you do that? I don't know.
Put it this way. See how we're just describing what it is?
Yeah.
They have a word for that.
Yeah.
We don't know the word because we didn't get to learn it. Yeah. But they have a word for that shot.
It's called the Kyle Walker.
Only them know it.
Only they know it. So it's like some little.
It's a secret little club.
Let's just call it X for now. But the move X.
Move X.
Oh man, I love that move. It's the top. Yeah. What a finish.
The X-Men produced in Spain. I think we should just go to Spain and do a little recon work over there and record a podcast.
Some reconnaissance in Spain, man.
Let's do it.
Abeza?
Abeconos?
An easy win for Chelsea, but a big game against Arsenal next week, who may or may not be a big side in the Premier League anymore.
Watch Emery make the changes for that game.
Yeah,
that's...
Who comes in, who goes out?
Torreira starts.
Torreira goes in, Xhaka goes out.
Yep.
Maitland-Niles, I'm sorry, has to go.
Well, he's gone because of the injury, I think.
Okay, so we've got Bellerin left back because I know he's played there before.
Mm-hmm. It depends who...
Lichtsteiner right back?
Yeah. I would say it would depend on whether Willian or Pedro, who's on which side.
It doesn't...
Hazard will be on the left, so they'll probably play Bellerin on the right.
Yeah, that's fine. Lichtsteiner's
still... I think you can get away with it,
yeah.
Everything else might stay the same.
Centre-backs...
Check might still start.
Nah, for me, Leno goes in.
Yeah.
Centre backs.
Personally, I'd play Leno, but I can see Emery playing Check again.
Yeah, but if I
was picking the team,
What do we think?
What do you think will happen? Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
Maitland Niles.
He's out.
He's out. Okay.
It's going to be Lichtsteiner and Bellerin. It's just whether they play left or right.
Mm.
Okay.
The centre backs the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mustafi.
Torreira, Guendouzi midfield.
Yeah.
Ozil
center. Both on.
Hey. It was Cam. It was Ramsey, Ozil, and. It was a third.
You might start just one of them, not two of them.
So for me, Ramsey goes.
Mm-hmm.
Laka, Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Ozil.
Yeah.
Play two at the front, one behind them, and then three behind that.
Yeah.
He was doing a 4-4-2 in pre-season as well, which would be interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Like Zeno and Aubameyang together.
Ramsey's not as big of a player for me as I think he's going to be in the Arsenal team this year. In my head, he's not what they're going to use him as.
I'm thinking, don't use him that much.
You've got better. They're thinking, build the other imports around him.
Yeah. He was very far forward in that game against Man City. I will say. I think they had like an average position map.
He
was like really high up. I was like, you should not be there.
See, the issue for me is...
Ramsey ahead of Aubameyang.
Yeah, which is strange.
The issue for me is that Wenger era team, anyone who comes from there has just already got that black mark in my head of like, I've seen you not perform in that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to just have the whole team overhauled. But like, obviously I know...
You got to keep someone getting
rid of them. Yeah. I know that, but in my head it's still just like... you've been like fourth, fifth, blah, 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 blah. And it's like...
Consistent.
Yeah.
Well. Even some of the Wenger ways are still instilled in the players.
Yeah. They've got to unlearn it.
Instinctively, they'll sort of play the way they played under him until they get their new instincts from Emery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so on Chelsea's side of things as well, what are we expecting?
Same lineup.
I'm expecting Chelsea to play dead same. And I'm expecting him to play exactly how he... That coach is a very, like, I play this way, that's it.
Yeah.
He's going to play like exactly like Napoli did last year, like his last team.
Yeah.
Which works, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was the first...
Score more than you concede, but if you still concede a lot, just hope you scored more. Mm. That's the kind of way they do it.
Yeah.
Napoli, remember, they lose like... If they lost, it'd be 5-4. If they won, it'd be like 6-1, 6-2, 6-3.
No. Well, I mean, can Chelsea contend? I mean, a few new faces as well, new coach as well. Stamford Bridge still, so they're not moving.
Low key, one of the best games will be Chelsea Liverpool.
Yeah,
that'll probably decide.
Yeah, that'll be a mad game.
That'll be a big decider.
No, definitely. Well, moving on to a game that probably won't have many implications on the final top four. Watford 2, Brighton 0. Two great goals from Roberto Pereira, giving the new look Watford. The win, no Marco Silva, no Richarlison, no problem in this one.
Oh, that was fresh.
The cliche, but anyway, Pereira, having a player like Roberto Pereira in your team, who's won two Serie A titles,
vital.
Like, yeah, definitely does have a huge.
Was it his second goal, the volley?
Yes, the first goal was the volley. Second goal,
what
was
a
the
goal,
one.
Man! Cracker. That was so
cracker.
That was such a pre-planned move.
Yeah,
the way they did the short corner.
That is so hard to do though.
Everyone ready.
Timing it from that high,
full volley too. Wasn't on the bounce. Like
it was, and the keeper actually saved it, but it was such a good shot. Still went in.
Couldn't put it. Sorry, Matty Ryan.
Yeah, as good as he is. So have a moment.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, absolutely fantastic goal.
Yeah.
Matty Ryan, what a guy.
He's not dead, I mean. it was two well-taken goals. You can't really do too much about
it. He's up there as one of the great debutant of the week one,
yeah, for
I'd say.
For the first round of the season, sorry. Yeah, definitely. I mean, two goals, like both very well. I did not expect that from him. Didn't think it had it in him, to be honest, anyway. But
that's a South American thing, man.
Or just pull it out of nowhere.
You know what I mean?
Argentine.
It's just a crazy little thing that they can all do, and it's called something none of the rest of us can do.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Fully swear, German players can't do that. Yeah. Like some of them can, like Cruz and all that. But like most
just the
South
American,
they just
have.
Know, yeah, it's just this instinctual kind of.
I think it's when you grow up playing like that tiki taka kind of style, like on the streets, like with every club. Like
it's fluid.
It's
fluid. They're definitely more it's that kind of like individuality that they express rather than a cohesive way of doing things. It's like you have the ball, do it your way, give it to me.
I mean, you're sort of born with that, and then you have to sort of learn it. Again, they play on the streets, so they sort of starts with have fun with it, and you develop your own game style.
Yeah,
and you have that flair.
It's exactly why they're so good at indoor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
God, yeah.
Because it's just
close
like,
control.
Yeah, close control. Yeah. That. Like, I don't think someone like Germany will be very good at indoor at all.
Germany and England and Australia in particular as well, because
it's too close
so
quarters.
It's just not what
Germany need the space, because they know how to create space by just setting traps.
Openings and all that kind of stuff.
Whereas England and Australia just like super physical.
Smash it forward, run after it.
Basically.
Germany, they're smart.
Spanish, good.
Germany are the team to like, they'll let the ball do the work. And make it easier on themselves.
And then also because their defenders can actually play like a centimetre as well. Like you look at Sergio Ramos, could easily fill in as a CDM.
Majority of them can,
You look at like the England centre backs, you know, Maguire could not play anywhere near that kind
no
of
way.
If I reckon Ramos, if he was a CDM, he would be an unbelievable player. I'd love to see that, man.
That's pretty good.
It was like
he can ping long balls as well.
He played was it in the final of the Champions League or semi-final with CDM. Didn't really work out well because it was only him and Cruz. But playing as a CDM with Cruz Modric ahead of him, I'd say that would work out well.
I think him playing CDM would be very similar to when Philipp Lahm played there for a little bit for Bayern. Like kind of, you know, they both
good everywhere.
Read the game very well. Yeah,
left great. Back,
that's
center
what you back. Want,
that's
what you want in a
that's
team.
That's as well. Another one of those type of players. Just like you just look athletic. You just look like you can do any job I put you in.
Yeah.
If you get him to, if he's the kind of guy like I need this done in 6 months, come back like 4 days later, it's just all finished. All better than the standard of what you gave him. You're like, okay,
that's why those teams do well when you have like teams. I have a centre back, and I want you to only be a centre back in your game style, in your trades.
Yeah,
you know, that's not good because centre backs are sometimes required to do non centre back things.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be at some point attacking.
You could be in the goal, sorry, in the box 1-on-1.
Yeah.
So and you've been told.
Exactly.
You're just making under centre back things. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah,
that's why those big names, big teams, their centre backs can play anywhere.
And that's the versatility of the German players.
Yep,
it's like in most positions they'll all be able to do what's required of them. Then, not always. Like a right back might not be able to take a volley like a left winger.
Yeah,
but he'll at least be able to run like him. And like a lot of their skills match up, and then it gets specialised only in very, very certain areas of the pitch.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, like Ramos probably may have started off playing like a right wing or like a centre mid, and then you have those skills and then you transition to a centre back, whereas like Harry Maguire or like Phil Jones grew up playing centre back, that's all they've known.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're tailored away. We'll move on to, we are running long as well, to Fulham 0, Crystal Palace 2. A great game from both goalkeepers early on, but former Leicester defender Jeffrey Schlupp with probably one of the better names in the Premier League for one, but a pretty good finish into the top corner.
Schlupp,
That was a Schlupp shot, bro.
Should he have scored this? Like, surely there's a keeper hold responsibility in this instance, or should the defender be stopping them?
Those kind of like shots that go in, I don't necessarily think that was where he intended for the shot to go.
Yeah.
It could have been like lower and across goal.
When you're that
goal.
Close though?
Yeah, lower across goal, you're sliding. It comes off the wrong part of your boot, but still goes the general direction. And it goes where the keeper thought... Like the keeper wouldn't expect someone to shoot it there because they would never try to.
Yeah.
So it's like, or how am I going to know to save that? I can't read him and think it's going
to
go
there.
When
you're there. That close, they have to react much, much quicker.
Yeah.
Because they don't have time to see the ball from far away. Okay, adjust. Like, basically just going to guess there and there. If it goes there, I'll save it. If not, well, good luck.
It's just, like, as useful as a deflection, basically.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay, not where I read the ball to go. Now it's going somewhere else.
Mm. Yeah. No, well, Wilfred Zaha picked up the second for them, and we were speaking off air about that he could potentially move to a bigger team, but also just sign a new contract until 2023.
Mm.
Could I mean, I feel like contracts still mean nothing these days anyway. All things
just
considered.
Get paid out. And,
yeah, basically. But you know, can you see him a bigger team picking him up? I mean, he had that run with United, but he was meant to be the next big thing.
I still think he's a great player. But
yeah.
He's such a good player, honestly.
It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he was all of a sudden doing all these tricks and scoring goals last season. I was like, hold on. And then, he's obviously kept it up because it's a well taken.
He has to be smart with what team he goes to, though.
Yeah. Who do you see him playing for, Dan?
If he went to an Everton now with Richarlison and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nah, that's.
They've already got Yannick Bolasie on the
That moves
side.
like a little jump.
Hmm.
Honestly, Arsenal, why not?
Yeah. Instead of him, I mean, he'd be a huge upgrade.
You've got a big.
Awobi.
You've got a big. He's like a really good Awobi. That's what he's
playing. That's how I compare him.
Stylistically. Yeah.
You've got a problem, though, if he goes to Arsenal. Where are you going to fit him? Mickey, Ozil.
Him on the left, Mickey Torreira, on the right, Ozil middle, Torreira
behind with
Guendouzi behind. Play Aubameyang.
Lacazette
on the bench.
Oh no, Laka for me.
Well, if you go 4-4,
you don't spend 50 million bringing Zaha. Like, don't buy him if you're going to do that. Yeah, don't buy Laka if you're going to do that.
You play both Laka and Aubameyang.
I play 100%.
Yeah. Last two games, Bournemouth 2, Cardiff 0. Ryan Fraser, the shortest player in the Premier League, scoring Bournemouth's first goal, with Callum Wilson scoring the winner in the 91st minute. Both sides showing great potential moving forward. Do Cardiff go down? And it's only one game in the season. But
yes.
They're
my team to go down from the start.
Yep, as well.
Gornskis.
All right. Speaking of relegation, Southampton 0, Burnley 0. A back and forth game between Burnley, who overachieved last season, and Southampton, who greatly underachieved last season. So they kind of met in the middle and drew.
They're lucky to be in the Premier League again.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hart, surprisingly, at least in my opinion.
Joe Hart.
His first game for the Clarets. Making some big saves towards the end of the game to salvage a point for them. Definitely proving me wrong, because I thought they should have started Heaton, but he definitely did well in this game to kind of keep them in it. Is he going to stay there? Do you think he stays first team for the rest of the season?
Yeah,
for sure. Until he has a slump in form, he'll be there.
Yeah, and then the Burnley defense, they were great last year as well, maintained the best defense in the league for like a solid good three quarters of the season. So I can only imagine that he would stay there.
Mm.
What are Southampton missing? They just signed a new centre back who looks like the Terminator, so he filled in quite well. And he is Charlie Austin a good enough striker for them?
They have a lot of things to fix.
Yeah, what is going on?
Stop selling your good players for starters.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah,
like you're never gonna get. They're like a money team. They're just like to be in the league.
They're basically the equivalent of like a Huddersfield or Brighton.
Yeah,
for me, they're in between that and Everton.
Yeah, I've sort of lost interest in you. You're too hard to fix. You need about $400 million.
Every time you find someone who can fix you, you sell them.
Yeah.
It's like,
I feel like Southampton will kind of need to be relegated to restart and then go back up again to like rebuild.
Well, what they were when they came in, like, what was it, sixth?
Yeah, a few years ago. Inside the top 10 at least.
When they had their mad players. Mm. Now, again, they're like a Huddersfield where I'm like, oh, yeah, they're doing well for themselves.
Yeah.
We should lower the bar for Southampton because they're not going to hit that again. If you want to fix them, find an Arab sheikh, buy the club out, and just flood the money in there and buy some players. They need more than one player. Yeah,
got to do the old FIFA manager mode company or whatever it's called, the 100 million.
Takeover.
Yeah, takeover. Yeah. Just need that.
$100 million will get them nothing these days.
$1 million.
$1 billion.
All right. So as always, we'll finish the podcast with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, for me at least, just having the Premier League back to start with has been I was so excited doing
it.
It's been so nice just to have like Premier League football back. Liverpool back in form, probably best start.
That was probably the good for me.
Ollie, good for your week?
Good for me.
I've got Everton. The Everton and Wolves game was just crazy to just.
I'll probably say my favourite, my most exciting thing, Richarlison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. That was actually like Keita, I think, had it. I was just excited.
Like good as in overall, like Liverpool, specify with Keita, but my highlight of the week was Neves.
Yeah, the free kick.
The free kick was just peachy.
I just like You go.
Even that ball in from in the cross to score that to set up a second, right in his head, just about. Yeah, Ollie.
I just like, mine for me, it's just Richarlison. I just like, I was even saying, wow, I think he could do well here.
Even before he even went there.
Even before, I was excited. I was just like,
and when you heard the news, you were over the moon to see that.
Because, like, you know what the thing is? I found out he was young.
Yeah, 21.
And I knew he was good. So I was like, oh, wow.
You assume he's like 27, 26.
Yeah, so I'm like, he's good, but there's no time to, there's no point like really getting into supporting him now. Yeah. Like, I'll watch him, but like, he's good and he could be way better. That's like, oh, let's see what happens here. Yeah.
He's our age, younger.
How long until he goes to like somewhere in Madrid or something like that? Since he's 21. Because imagine he has this season with Everton.
It'll depend on how he performs this season and next season.
Yeah. So what if he has two fantastic seasons, like 18 goals, like 10 assists?
18? That's not fantastic.
You reckon he'll get more? For a winger, he's not a striker.
Isn't he playing striker there?
No, he's playing left wing. They're playing Cenk Tosun.
20, sub 20. For that position,
I'd say 15 and anywhere from 15 to 25, good season.
It'll take
next
more than
year
that for Madrid to come calling, though. I'd say,
yeah, fair enough. I don't know. You see a 23-year-old doing that sort of thing. I don't know. Maybe somewhere in. Oh no, I couldn't see him going to Germany.
Germany will kill him. That league's not.
I can see like Chelsea or something getting him like a little bit down later.
No, too soon
for Chelsea. If you want to go
Tottenham.
Chelsea, you should be a peak player.
If Kane goes, he'll go in for Kane. He'll go in and make that.
Give him interesting.
I'll be keen to see how he's
something
in
like
years.
That. Yeah, see something like that happening.
Mm-hmm. The bad for the week, I've got Czech starting over Leno, Guendouzi starting over Torreira. Arsenal in general, I think all the Emery out, all the, you know, the memes coming from was funny. And then also Arsenal Fan TV being forced to change their name to AFTV.
Heard that, yeah.
Because of the negative connotations, in air quotes, surrounding the association of the Arsenal Fan TV with the Arsenal club itself. So now when Robbie does the intro, he's like, AFTV here with, you know, whatever.
That sucks.
Here with Ty. Ty, what kind of nuisance are you going to be today? Oh, well, blah, 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 blah. So,
blood clot.
Yeah, AFTV kind of gets on my nerves anyway, but...
I'd say...
I like it.
It's, yeah, anyway.
This I
love it.
Dan.
I wasn't happy seeing Xhaka on the field and Torreira on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bad.
I'm back on that. Like
as well. Right.
I just use your players, man. Come on, Ray.
Come on. When you ever play like Torreira.
Guendouzi also, by the way, is a good shout for the good. He just looks like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, for a 19-year-old as well. Sancho Bob is doing well.
Man, if he's doing that hit now, imagine him at 26.
No, that's if we keep him. Watch Man City sign him.
I can see that happening.
They'll win a title with him as well. Anyway, moving on to the ugly. I've just got De Bruyne's injury. Just hate to see someone like that go down.
Yeah, I'll back that. Well. Wags backing that.
Ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah, ugly. Like 2 months, such a crucial player. I know you two had a fiery debate earlier, but...
No, that's why I'm not going to back it.
No,
just because I think they'll be fine without him. Like, it's not good for
Wags.
It's not good for him.
Yeah.
But I think ugly is just like...
What's your ugly then?
Probably someone who's... Who should have done better than I thought they would. Like, I can't even say Arsenal because I didn't. I thought that's a fair result. Yeah. I actually thought that result might happen.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, actually. Ugly.
Yeah. West Ham.
Probably the. This is going to be a generic one, but probably the fact that I've been getting used to VAR and now there's none.
Yeah. Oh yeah, true. Forgot about that.
That's just ugly because it's like I've seen a few things.
Might have been an example where it could have been.
Yeah. Exactly. I've seen a few things where I'm like, wow, that was so good and that wouldn't have happened.
Honestly, because of the World Cup and the VAR, the whole season from now on, we're going to be saying, oh, VAR, we'll call that.
Yeah.
VAR,
then
we'll call
there's
that.
Going to be times where we're like, thank God we didn't have VAR because that was awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
7 minutes like, offside. Oh, what a scissor kick.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I mean, it's the magic of football, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, we'll end the podcast there. This one's definitely running long. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating on iTunes. It'd be greatly appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter, @Seb_Quinn. You got Dan on Instagram,
@DanRosevsky.
Ollie on Twitter as well.
@OllieAlexWagner.
And everyone have a great week. We'll see you all.
And just remember, if you're having a bad week, at least you weren't onside and called offside.
Dab, 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 dab.